From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Whether you're wildcarding or not, we're here to help you bounce back from last week's blanks on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Yes, hello, welcome back to the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. We may be heading into another international break, but as always, there is tons for us to discuss after another difficult week. In fact, game week 7 was the lowest scoring game week of the season. Just 38 was average, but fortunately, our panel all managed to do better than that. So let's say a big hello to FPL Family's Lee Bonfield.
Hey, Kelly.
Welcome back to journalist Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello, and finally, a big warm welcome back to the high-flying Sam Parkin.
Good morning, Kelly.
Let's reflect on game week 7. Liverpool versus Manchester City ended the game week. Thank goodness again for Mo Salah, as Chelsea's start to their kind run of fixtures didn't help us too much, beating Southampton 3-1, but no returns for three of the game week's most bought players, Rudiger, Alonso and Lukaku, and Ronaldo was benched for Manchester United. Better news, though, for owners of Son Heung-min and Raul Jimenez, who both got 10 points each. Now, Flo, let's start with you. As regular listeners will know, you did have a tough start, but you've been in exceptional form since your game week 5 wild card. The gamble paid off, but you didn't make any transfers last week. Why was that?
Yeah, I decided to stick with the same team that had been doing so well the last couple of weeks. I think it's a difficult one. And with Lukaku, and not thinking about transferring him, but it's obviously frustrating because I moved my whole team and played my wild card in order to get some space to buy big names like Lukaku, and it hasn't necessarily paid off yet.
Lee, lots of blanks in your side, similar to me actually. Only Mo Salah and Sanchez returned, but how are you feeling about your team? I have to say, I do feel really bad because I feel like we get you on every week after you've had a bad week. I have to say to the listeners, you've had some good weeks in the meantime, haven't you?
There have been some. Yeah, there have been some. But like Flo, I mean, I played my wild card a couple of weeks ago and, you know, the wild card is for the longer term. So Flo, don't worry about Lukaku, right? The fixtures look great for him and I think he's the one to have up there. So I was going to say a minor blip, Kelly, but I've had a few of those so far this season. So I'm looking forward to maybe talking through some of the differentials today on the podcast that are going to boost me up the ranks.
I'll also say at this point, and I'll say it quietly, Lee was quite far ahead of his wife, Sam, another regular on the podcast, and she's caught him up. But anyway, enough of that. Sam, for you, a very strong start to the season, as I said, and you've still got your wild card. Is now the time to play it?
I'm tempted, but probably not right now. I'm a little bit reluctant to do it during an international break. I just like to give it that next week post-international games and see who's fit, see who's firing. But definitely it's something that I'm thinking about in the next couple of weeks, but certainly not this week. Happy with how it's going. And just some of those, I suppose some of the early season differentials, I've been less reactive this year. I've not made multiple substitutions each week. I've stuck with Tony, Saar, Benrahma, people like that. And they've responded and got big points, you know, even though it's maybe not been every week. Normally I just wield the axe this year. I've been a little bit more patient.
Well, I'm sure you're not the only one being patient. Game week 7's fixture swing did make it a good time to wildcard, but with the international break, many a manager will be doing the same this week. So for those of you who have pressed the button or maybe are hovering dangerously over it, let's see if we can help you out next. So it is an international break. So here at the official Fantasy Premier League podcast, we thought our panellists may have a little more time on their hands. So we've asked them to take an in-depth look into the players they would bring in if they were going to activate their wild card. Flo, for you, is this a good time to wild card? I know you used yours to really good effect, but if you hadn't, would game week 8, looking at how some of the fixtures swing, do you understand why managers may be doing it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think when you're coming off a back of some quiet point weeks, I can imagine why, and that's exactly why I use mine, why you'd be looking to refresh with some of the bigger teams with some really, really favourable fixture lists in order to make up the ground. I think the one thing that I'm wary about is the rotation that we're seeing not only from Pep Guardiola, who we've always known is going to rotate, but Thomas Tuchel as well, because that's kind of how I got a little bit affected last week with Marcus Alonso. So I think defensively is going to be the most interesting wildcard decisions that people are going to make, because I think further up the pitch, you know, things kind of decide themselves. But I think defensively, we're going to talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold as well. I think there's some really interesting decisions to be made.
Lee, what would be the overall strategy that you would adopt then? Because I know a lot of the debate a few weeks ago was whether your team needed Ronaldo and Lukaku, whether just one of them, maybe neither of them.
Do you know what? It's tough actually this season because there's so much good value in so many different areas. I mean, certainly in midfield, there's some absolutely outstanding value. So I think for me, I'd be looking at trying to get a good balance between what I would call the kind of template picks, the ones that are high ownership, and then the differentials. I think if I could go back and do my wild card again from a few weeks ago, I probably was a bit safe with it. I probably went with a few highly owned picks, which hasn't affected my rank too negatively, which is great. But then equally, I'm struggling to make those big jumps up at the moment because I haven't gone with the low ownership players. So I think if you're playing your wild card, you know, don't go all out there. Don't go rogue and go for, you know, tons of picks that are under 5% owned, because they're under 5% owned for a reason. But trying to strike that balance between the template picks and the differentials is quite important. So if you could build a team with a lot of, you know, solid, safe picks, but two or three, you know, fun differentials that can launch you up the rankings if they'd come good, then that's how I would balance my wild card.
Sam, who are the solid, safe picks? Who are the must-haves that straight away would have to go into any wildcard team?
Oh, I think it's really tricky this year, to be honest. I agree with Lee completely about kind of spreading your assets around the team. At the moment, for me, if I was to be wildcarding, it's defensively where I think right now you'd probably have to go for some of the higher-priced assets, Alexander-Arnold, Rudiger's come into my thinking, Diaz, Cancelo as well. But in terms of definitive picks that would be right in my side now, there's probably only Mo Salah. Obviously, I'd want to supplement that with a Fernandes or a Lukaku. But at the moment, their form, I'm just a little bit concerned about it. And they're the type of players that I'm thinking about bringing out to maybe strengthen in other areas.
Okay, then let's work through positionally and see who our panellists would recommend bringing in. Let's start with the goalkeeper. Flo, who would you pick if you were wildcarding?
So I'm going to toot my own horn here, because I feel like a goalkeeper who I don't think a lot of our owners would have, only 10% of teams currently have this goalkeeper. He's had the same amount of clean sheets as Aaron Ramsdale, and that's David Raya at Brentford. Obviously, Jurgen Klopp really talked him up when Brentford played Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. He's 4.6 million, so he's the same value as Aaron Ramsdale. And I think, you know, with how Brentford are doing this season, I think he's a really solid pick.
You mentioned there Aaron Ramsdale getting a lot of attention, 4.6 million fantasy pounds he'll cost you, 3 clean sheets and 24 points in his 4 matches so far this season. I hate bringing him up, if I'm honest, because Julian Laurent actually tipped him before this impressive run of form. And we all know how painful it is to agree with Jules. Regular listeners will feel my pain. But Lee, he's a pretty good pick, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks all right, doesn't he? And he seems to, I mean, the spectre of rotation with Leno, I guess, is still there, potentially. But certainly the run of form that we're seeing from Arsenal has coincided with Ramsdale coming into that team. And like you say, you know, back-to-back clean sheets, I think, like you say, 3 in a row now. So Arsenal's good form has coincided with him coming in. And you know what? I've noticed a couple of things when I've watched Arsenal on the TV. He's got a good relationship with the fans already. You know, he pulled off a couple of saves last game week, turned to the fans, bit of a smile. You know, they've got a song for him already. They're chanting his name. He's coming. He's done a really good job. So at 4.6, he's probably the one I'd have on wildcard.
Sam, the most owned goalkeeper in the game is Sanchez at Brighton. You've got him at the moment as well. If you were wildcarding, would you keep hold of him?
I would do, certainly. Him and Ramsdale would be my two. I think Sanchez has been unlucky, actually, not to have more clean sheets, more points than he's currently got. Certainly in the last few weeks, he's been a bit unfortunate. But I think given the way that he plays so brilliant with his feet, he's going to be the number one for Graham Potter, unquestionably. And they've only conceded more than one goal once this season in the home defeat to Everton. So pretty measly defensively. And as I said, the style of goalkeeper that he is, he's going to continue to be Brighton's number one.
Yeah, three clean sheets so far this season for Sanchez, owned by over 24% of FPL managers. Let's move on then to defence. I think we have to kick this conversation off, Lee, by talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold. He missed the game against Manchester City with a groin injury. He's not gone away on international duty. He is still red flagged at the moment. 7.5 million. What do we do with him? Do we bring him in? Do we take him out on a wild card? What do you think?
Well, I don't think you should be taking him out. But then equally, if you've not got him at the moment, you do need to keep an eye on the news and see whether he's coming back or not. If he is going to be fit, and if we do get the nod from Klopp that he's going to be fit for that Watford game, I think he's one you've got to think about getting straight back in. I was kind of surprised that so many people sold him last week or the week before with the injury. I don't think necessarily any of us thought it was going to be a long-term injury. And you know what you're going to get with Trent? We've seen it for many, many seasons in FPL. You know, clean sheets because he's obviously part of that Liverpool back four. And then, you know, offensive, free kicks, set pieces, everything else. So he would be a straight back in for me. Liverpool, 49 attempts from set pieces as well so far this season. The best in the league. And Watford, sorry to say, Kelly, 37 attempts conceded from set plays, which is the worst. So if you're not going to get Trent back in, it's going to be an uncomfortable watch every time he hits a corner or a free kick. If he's not going to be fit, by the way, there is a school of thought that says maybe you could go for Virgil or you could go for Robertson as a bit of a placeholder for at least 1 to 2 weeks while Trent gets fit. But if he's going to be available for that Watford game, he looks like a good pick.
Yeah, he was sold by over 909,000 managers last week and has been transferred out by over 130,000 already ahead of that game to Watford. His stats, though, are crazy. His 11 shots put him second among defences. 21 chances created ranks only second to the 23 of Bruno amongst all of the players in fantasy. So, yes, you could be missing out on a lot of attacking potential there. Where else should we be putting our money then, Sam? Where do you think? Because a lot of people now looking at either Chelsea or Manchester City's defence.
I'd like to get one in from both sides, certainly. I think when you're looking at Chelsea, Antonio Rudiger, maybe Azpilicueta are the only dead certs to be in that back setup. Rudiger, because he's the only one really who, I wouldn't say naturally, but he's made that position on the left-hand side of the back three his own. The only really competitor to that that position is Saar, who has only played once, I think, in the League Cup. So Rudiger is going to play. He's an ever-present. He's racking up the clean sheets and obviously got that 14-point haul, I think it was, at Spurs when he got the goal. So, you know, pound for pound, he's right up there as one of the best Premier League defenders right now. So he would be the one I'd be looking at. You're maybe not going to get the attacking returns. That's where Azpilicueta's delivery from the right-hand side does come into the picture. So they would only be the two that I could consider, I think, just because Thomas Tuchel is going to rotate that back line. Reece James can play a number of positions. We know the left-sided wing-back's a little bit of a question mark at the moment, but certainly Rudiger. And Manchester City, yes, there's the concern about rotation, but considering Diaz has played every minute, as has Cancelo, that they are two that you'd have to consider. And I just think we haven't got the midfield assets and the strikers really of a level of previous seasons. So that's why I think right now, when you consider how few goals Chelsea and Manchester City are letting in, if you've got a fourth defender to come in just in case one of those players is rotated, then I think getting one from each of those sides is the way to go.
Who's the best option at Chelsea, do you think, Flo?
I completely agree with Sam. I think Antonio Rudiger is just indispensable. And I think with that rotation, I think you need to look for players who are going to be started. And like I said, I got burnt by Alonso last week. And I'm sure there's lots of managers who are in a similar situation to me where you haven't necessarily got a lot of budget to work with, because I did blow all my money pretty much to move things around with that wild card in order to bring in Lukaku, in order to bring Salah in. So I haven't got a lot to work with defensively. I've already got Cancelo and Diaz, and I'm looking to probably get rid of Alonso. So I think for me, a few other options people might consider. I don't think for the first week back after the international break, but looking a little bit longer ahead, and it might, you know, pain me as I'm already talking quite a lot about Brentford in this podcast as a QPR fan, but Pontus Janssen and Ethan Pinnick, both 4.6 million. They've got Chelsea that first week back after the international break, but then they've got Leicester and Burnley after that. So I think for me, I'm going to be looking to perhaps bring in one of those two as a replacement, because I haven't got a lot of budget. You know they're going to start games. Probably good chance of getting clean sheets against Leicester and Burnley. I probably won't bring them in against Chelsea, but looking ahead, I think that's a solid kind of budget option for players like me who haven't got a lot of money to work with.
Yeah, if we do want to spend big on midfields, forwards, and even the slightly more expensive defenders, we do need some good budget options. And Lee, there's a few emerging, isn't there?
Yeah, we've already spoken about the Arsenal defence with Ramsdale in there. So Ben White at 4.4 is going to be a good pick for you. But I can't believe we've got this far talking about defenders without talking about Tino Livramento. What an absolute fantastic player he's been for us so far this season, and for Saints, actually. So at 4.2 in FPL, and I know a lot of FPL managers listening to this will have got him in at 4.0 or 4.1. He looks the standout pick in the budget category. The Southampton fixtures coming up are so good as well. It's Leeds, Burnley, Watford, Villa, Norwich in the next five. So if you sort the fixture difficulty ticker by difficulty, then the Saints are right up there. And what you're going to get with Livramento is not only potential for clean sheets, but actually, here's a guy coming out of the Chelsea Academy with plenty of potential going forward as well. We've already seen him grab a couple of assists. He was fouled in the box, wasn't he, the other week, so got the penalty. At 4.2, you can't look any further than getting him. And at that price point, what we often do is we think, well, he's a filler for us. He's our fifth midfielder. We stick him on the bench. And if, you know, a Cancelo or an Alonso doesn't play, then Livramento comes in. I would suggest that Livramento should be in your first 11 most weeks for the next sort of 4 or 5 game weeks, because the fixtures look that good.
Yeah, 4.2 million for the Southampton man, and he's certainly getting forward a lot, that's for sure. What about Brentford? Flo mentioned it briefly, Sam. Is there some value in their defence as well?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think Janssen and Pinnock have already scored. Obviously, we've seen what an unbelievable threat they are from set pieces. And I think that's the thing that's probably caught, certainly a lot of the neutrals out, that Brentford have got this reputation of playing brilliant football. But I think in isolation, they're looking at these fixtures and seeing where the weakness is in the opponent. And I think from set pieces, long throws, corner kicks, they are showing that they've got real potency. So absolutely, completely agree with Flo. I think the goalkeeper's a great shout as well, David Raya. But any one of that back three, you're going to get clean sheets as well because of the brand of football that they've adopted since they've got the promotion.
Pontus Janssen and Ethan Pinnock, both priced at 4.6 million, have actually been the two best value players across the opening 7 game weeks, averaging 8.3 points per million spent if you do want to look at the Bees' backline. On to midfield now, and I think we're all in agreement that Mo Salah is a must-have, whether you're on a wild card or not. Flo, there's quite a lot of differentials in midfield. I'm seeing a lot of different picks. Things are changing as teams evolve. Where are you finding value and who would you be bringing in?
So someone I'd probably be looking to bring in is Doucouré at Everton. He's had a really good season so far. He's kind of been one of Everton's most consistent and most important players. He's at 5.6 million at the moment, 43 points for the season, 2 goals, 4 assists. And then when you look at Everton's next 3 games, all winnable games, West Ham, Watford and Wolves. So he's someone that I'm definitely looking at. And then I was considering Andros Townsend. I think it's difficult with players like him because I feel like he might be on a bit of a hot streak. He's the same value as Doucouré. He's also got 43 points, but I feel like he's going to be a less consistent player across the whole of the season. So I think, although I'm looking at him, I probably would lean more towards Doucouré for my midfield pick.
Yeah, I agree with you, Flo. Townsend's looked good, hasn't he? Particularly without Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So when Dominic Calvert-Lewin hasn't been in that Everton team, he's had 10 touches in the box compared to only one when Dominic Calvert-Lewin has been around. So I think he's kind of drifting a bit more centrally without Calvert-Lewin being there and becoming more of a goal threat. I'll be interested to see what happens when DCL comes back. Are we going to see Townsend more as the creator, the crosses in the box, trying to find Dominic Calvert-Lewin and his aerial prowess in the box? So yeah, more of a goal threat at the minute, Townsend. Maybe we'll see him more on the creative assist side when Calvert-Lewin comes back. But either way, good pick in FPL.
Yeah, he's currently this game week's most transferred in player with over 230,000 of you moving for the former Palace man. Where else are you finding value then, Sam, in that midfield? Because there's some key players coming back into form or back to fitness at certain clubs as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Son would definitely be in my wildcard team right now. I was there for the game against Enes Müra. I hope I've said that correctly. When him and Kane obviously came off the bench, I think for half an hour, Kane helped himself to a hat trick, but Son was absolutely electric, and he carried that on at the weekend. So I think if their form's to turn around, he's going to be vital in that. Townsend, of course, I think most key passes, more attempts than anyone else on the pitch at Old Trafford the other day, just to add to what the guys were saying. So I think just under Rafa Benitez, it clearly works for Andros Townsend, undoubted ability, but he knows how to get the best out of him. And the other one, Brian Mbeumo at Brentford, who we've gone big on already today, but he's out shooting Ivan Toney at the moment. Yes, Ivan Toney's playing a slightly different role, but Brian Mbeumo is getting more shots off. He's hit the woodwork an additional four times to those two goals that he's got. So it feels like his luck's going to get even better, if that makes sense. And a non-penalty XG of 4.1, that's the fourth best for any midfielder at 5.5 million. So yeah, I mean, he would probably come into my starting lineup if I was to be wildcarding.
Lee, someone who's been popular all season pretty much is Rafinha, up to £6.6 million now. I moved for him last week, alas, to no avail, just the 3 points. With Leeds' fixtures still looking good, they've got their first win of the season. Should managers be holding or bringing in Rafinha?
I think he should be holding. He's had a good season so far, and absolutely love this player, by the way. I love watching Leeds, and he's at the heart of everything that's good about Leeds United, particularly creatively. He's had 24 shots, 14 chances created. That's the best amongst all of his Leeds peers. So he's the one to have if you're going to go there. At 6.6, he's still absolutely affordable, and the fixtures look all right. Just a word of warning, though, with Rafinha, is that Brazil play really late in the international break, and I think, you know, less than 1 or 2 days later, Leeds play. So you've got to keep an eye out on that. I'm not sure whether Rafinha and a lot of his Brazilian colleagues, the likes of Fabinho and Alisson, I'm thinking from a Liverpool perspective clearly, are going to be back playing in the next game week. So just keep an eye out for that. But if he is going to be available, then 6.6 is good for Rafinha.
So yeah, Rafinha, a good price at 6.6 million. But there's a few options emerging even cheaper than that. And at Crystal Palace as well, Flo, Conor Gallagher getting plenty of attention.
Yeah, definitely. He's only 5.7 million, which is, I think, is absolute bargain. He's got 34 points this season, 2 goals, 3 assists. We know from his time on loan at West Brom how important he was to everything that they did last season. Obviously, they got relegated, but he played a massive part in the way that they played. And we're seeing the same again for Palace this season. Looking at their fixtures as well, they've got Arsenal on the 18th, but in game week 11, I was looking at, they've got a run where they're going to play Wolves, Burnley, Villa and Leeds, which is a really good run of games that he could pick up even more points.
And I just wanted to throw in the biggest curveball of the season so far with Michael Elise at Crystal Palace. I was at Selhurst for the 2-2 against Leicester, and he was incredible. He had, I think, 28 touches in the 37 minutes that he was on, 5 touches in the opposition's box, got himself a goal, and he replaced Jordan Ayew, who, having done my prep before the game, hasn't scored or assisted in 21 matches now. So it feels like there's a bit of a changing of the guard now. Elise back from injury. Yes, it's his first opportunities in the Premier League, but 7 goals, 12 assists at Reading last year. Gives them a lovely balance. He's got this beautiful language style over on the right-hand side to complement what Zaha does on the left. So maybe not for this week at the Emirates, but he's someone that I'm tipping to start playing regularly and getting a good return of points.
Yeah, lovely pick, Sam. I hadn't considered him, to be honest with you. He's got to be pretty low ownership, isn't he, in FPL?
Well, according to the app this morning, he's owned by nobody. So, we could be the first to get on him.
Heard it here first, an official Fantasy Premier League podcast exclusive from Sam Parkin. I'd be interested to see if his ownership does go up after this podcast goes out. Anyway, I'm going to get in a bit of trouble if I don't move us on very quickly with our producer, Joel, because we've spent a lot of time talking about our midfields. What about the forwards then? Is it as simple as must have Romelu Lukaku given Chelsea's fixtures, Lee?
I don't think it's as simple as must have, but certainly the fixtures look really, really good. And if you're thinking about moving off of a certain Portuguese, and we'll be talking about him later on, then I think the Lukaku move does seem like the right one to do. Although there are other options, and I think we shouldn't overlook some of the other premium assets as well. Jamie Vardy's gone, well, it's difficult to say he's ever going under the radar, isn't it? But at 10.4 million, he's at a funny price point that where none of us are really considering him, but, you know, got 8 points after the game at Selhurst Park, and is at 48 now for the campaign. So he's only one behind Mikel Antonio. I appreciate Mikel Antonio is a little bit cheaper than Jamie Vardy, but he's only owned by 13.8 as well. So he's going a little bit under the fancy radar, Vardy. And then, of course, we've got the likes of Harry Kane with a fixture coming up against Newcastle. We've already spoken about Heung-min Son and how he might do well against Newcastle. So don't rule out Harry Kane as well. So I think the answer to your question, Kelly, is no, it's not quite as straightforward as Lukaku. Although, if you're on a wild card, I think he's the one to have.
Okay, not as simple then as must have Romelu Lukaku. Where are the other options, do you think, Flo?
Well, I know sometimes you don't want to bite too quickly after a player has a really good game, but I have come on this podcast as the manager with absolutely zero budget. So I'm going to have to go with Hwang Hee-chan, I think. He's only 5.6 million. And when you look at Wolves' next fixtures, they've got Villa, Leeds, Everton, Palace, all games that you know realistically he can pick up points in, and I'm gonna have to get rid of Pukki. Like, I just don't see Norwich picking up a lot of points in the coming weeks, and I brought him in and he scored instantly when I wildcarded, but realistically long term he's not a viable option, and I think Hwang Hee-chan is definitely going to be the player I'm going to go for.
And very quickly, I just wanted to have a shout out for Jamie Vardy. All this talk of spending money on Romelu Lukaku, Cristiano Ronaldo, 6 goals in 7 games. Only Salah and Antonio have more points. Are we missing a bit of a trick here, Sam?
Oh, he wouldn't be someone that I'd be bringing in right now, but he's in brilliant form. I always worry, I suppose, when him and Iheanacho are paired together. They had that period, was it towards the back end of last season, when I think Brendan Rodgers' hand was forced almost because Iheanacho's form was so good coming on and affecting games. I know they both scored at Selhurst, but I just think they probably, when everyone's fit, I probably think they function better just with the one striker. So that would be my concern moving forward, that maybe I wouldn't necessarily, that Jamie Vardy will be rotated. But yeah, I wouldn't be sure on Vardy. I think there's better options and possibly cheaper options. I love the Wolves strikers at the moment. I think Chang and Jimenez are striking up a really nice relationship, you know, assisting one another, both amongst the goals now. And I think that was the important thing. Jimenez just needed that one goal to get back rolling. And I think he'll be their main man. Yes, complemented well now with the other forward players, but I think Jimenez is a great pick.
Okay, well, if you are wildcarding, hopefully some of those picks can help you, and hopefully our next section can provide some further info too as we look at some under-the-radar picks. Yeah, this week, Artificial FPL puts out the following. Looking forward, which underrated FPL options are you backing to hit form? So low ownership, high points potential is the name of the game in this part. Thank you to everyone that sent them in. Andrew said Harry Kane, Adam Armstrong, Livramento and Harvey Barnes could go big in the next 6 to 8 weeks. Kane could start his scoring streak at Newcastle. Southampton have got some great fixtures and Harvey Barnes looks sharper at the weekend. Firstly, a word on Harry Kane. Lee, I think we've known that Harry Kane hasn't been a good pick because Sam hasn't had him. Do you think we could finally see him find some form?
We could, and he's got the fixture to do it in, right, with Newcastle. I think it's West Ham, Man United and Everton after that, so it's a little bit trickier, but the Newcastle game does look primed for him. I think it's coming, obviously, in this household. We watch a lot of Harry Kane, and Sam watches a lot of him live in the stadium as well, and she came back from the game last week and saying, you know, it's coming for him, right? He missed a couple of sitters, chances that you would expect him to take. So he's getting in the right positions. He is getting the chances. He just needs to be a bit more clinical, which is a weird thing to say for a player like Harry Kane, because we've seen him be so clinical in previous seasons. So maybe he's shaken off the whole kind of summer Man City thing. You know, maybe Spurs are starting to find their feet under Nuno a little bit. And yeah, he's set to benefit, I think. The challenge you've got, of course, in FPL is the cost. He's going to cost you so much money. So for a manager like Flo with no budget, Sorry, Flo, I don't think you can go there with Harry Kane. But I think it's coming for him, and he's got a perfect fixture to perform in Game Week 8.
FPL Humdinger says it's got to be either Vardy, so doesn't agree with Sam, or Mane, in my opinion. Vardy, for his constant goal threat, is super underrated. Mane sometimes is overshadowed by Salah, but he's a joy to watch, and his underlying numbers are fantastic. We've also had the shout of Hwang Hee-chan from the Busby Babes. And this one I'm interested in from Spuds, who says Jared Bowen, 2 assists and a goal in the past 3 game weeks, yet only has 0.9% ownership. I think that counts as a differential. It certainly does, Spuds. And that's an interesting one. It leads us on to that conversation as well about Mikel Antonio and where the best kind of value is in that West Ham attack. What do you think, Sam?
Well, yeah, I've had Benrahma and Antonio from the off. And yeah, I think Jared Bowen's a great shout. And I think Fornals has had a brilliant season as well. And it's probably going to be peaks and troughs, you know, with those forward players that are supporting Antonio. He's the one that's certain to start, I suppose. And I think his form's been that good that I wouldn't be deterred by tough-looking fixtures either, just because he's so fundamental to the way that they play and he's playing with such confidence. So, I don't know. I'm half tempted to move Benrahma just because I think that, you know, I'm concerned that West Ham aren't going to be able to maintain this form. I think they've had a brilliant start to the season. That said, Antonio won't be going anywhere for me. He's, you know, I'm more than happy with my lot in terms of my forward line, and he's certainly part of that.
FaZe has also suggested Matty Cash with a 3.8% ownership. And Abuti says, I'm going with Adam Armstrong from Southampton and Adama Traore from Wolves. Traore is an interesting one because a lot of managers wanted him earlier in the season. He never really delivered. Adam Armstrong, though, is someone that we've suggested on this podcast before. Is he an option, do you think, Flo?
It's a tricky one. I'm not sure I would go with Adam Armstrong. I'm not massively convinced with Southampton this season. And I think you've got better value elsewhere on the pitch with the likes of Livramento and James Ward-Prowse, who I did bring in at the start of the season. Obviously, we know that he's going to be taking a lot of set pieces, which is always a good way to pick up points. But I do think Southampton haven't had the best season so far, and I wouldn't be looking probably to bring in Armstrong at the moment.
Okay, from under the radar to someone who, if you check the dictionary definition, would probably be listed as the exact opposite. Next up, we're talking Cristiano Ronaldo. And we all got very excited when FPL royalty Ronaldo returned for Game Week 4. Some of us, not naming any names, but it was probably my only good decision of the season so far, took a 4-point hit to bring him in as he quickly became the second most owned player after his debut. And 5 goals in his 6 matches in all competitions isn't bad, but around 200,000 managers have parted company this week. Again, managers are clearly worried about his Game Week 7 benching. And of course, no guarantee he's on penalties. And none of our panel have him. Sam, why is he not in any of your teams, do you think?
Oh, for me, it's a straight swap between him and Lukaku, in all honesty. When they both came back to the league, I had to get one of them, considering the clubs that they're joining and the stature, the goal-scoring possibilities. I went for Lukaku, and I'm worried about him, to be honest. You know, 6 points in the last 3 game weeks, passing up good opportunities as well. So I don't think the only concern should be with Ronaldo right now. They're too good a players not to rediscover their goal scoring form. I'm hoping it will happen quickly, but my plan was always to rotate those two, and Ronaldo will come into my thoughts unquestionably in the next few weeks and months. So I'm not too concerned. I'd like both of them to be firing, in all honesty.
Do you think we can expect benching going forward? Because there was a lot of disgruntlement from Manchester United fans when Ronaldo wasn't in the starting lineup against Everton. They didn't get the result though, so maybe that plays into Ronaldo owners' hands a bit, Lee.
Yeah, possibly. And I noticed some comments from Ollie about the fact, you know, he can't play 3 times in a week. They have to be careful with him, etc., etc. I think when he was at Juventus, I think he rarely played 3 times in a week. And that's probably where that rhetoric's coming from. Although, you know, the fact that the Champions League schedule was kind of condensed by COVID probably didn't help with that. But it is a concern now. It is a concern now. The one thing I will say is that his, you know, the look on his face when he came off in the previous game week, he didn't look as if he wanted a rest. He didn't look as if he bought into Ollie's rhetoric about, you know, I can't play every single game. And the thing you're going to have with Ronaldo is he's going to want to prove a point. He's had a couple of weeks to stew on that last result against Everton. He's going to surely turn up against Leicester. So for me, this for me is not the week to sell Cristiano Ronaldo. The Leicester defence is really not pulling up any trees so far this season. I think only Norwich, Leeds and Newcastle have conceded more goals than Leicester so far this season. Vestergaard's come in, looked okay, but looks a bit languid, looks a little bit slow in that back line, and they're missing Johnny Evans. So if you've got Ronaldo, I don't think it's the time to sell him. Maybe in the next couple of game weeks you have a look at that, but for this week against Leicester, I think it's a great fixture.
Yeah, after Leicester in game week 8, then they face Liverpool, Spurs, Manchester City and Chelsea with a game against Watford in there as well, all before game week 13. So it might be the longer term fixtures that are putting managers off, as well as the fact, Flo, that they've got so many options in attack, especially with Rashford coming back. Sanchez, Greenwood, Pogba, Fernandes, Lingard in the midfield options, Martial, Cavani, Ronaldo. How does Ollie fit them all in?
Exactly. I think that's the thing that puts me off. I think it's the rotation, it's the options. And I think that's always going to play on your mind with the bigger teams when they have got bigger squads and a lot of big names. But I just think you've always got to look at, well, who are the guaranteed names on the starting lineup? And I feel like Lukaku and it is that at the moment. And if you haven't got the budget to have both, which I'm sure lots of people won't, then I think you've just got to go with the consistent, reliable option regardless. And also given Chelsea's favourable fixture list coming up.
Okay, so if you aren't having Cristiano Ronaldo, what should your forward line look like then, Lee, do you think?
Well, despite what I've just said, I would still go with Lukaku. I mean, like I say, if you've got Ronaldo this week, keep him. But Lukaku for the longer term, for sure. Certainly with those fixtures coming up. I agree with what Sam was saying before on the pod about Antonio. He's going nowhere for me either. And then I think my third slot would either be, I think I would take a bit of a punt on the new man from Wolves, Hwang, or I'd have a look at Ivan Toney. We've spoken before, and this is probably the fourth or fifth mention Brentford have got on the podcast today, which is crazy, really. But there will be a lot of people looking at their wild cards and going, well, okay, Chelsea in game week 8, that's not a fixture where I want any Brentford players, so you might not bring them in. But after that, it's that Leicester defence I just spoke about. It's Burnley, it's Norwich, it's Newcastle. Those are absolutely games where Ivan Toney, being the talisman he is for Brentford on penalties, good start to the season so far, I think he would get my third striker spot if I was wildcarding this week.
Okay, so none of our panel have Ronaldo, but approach with caution is the message coming from Lee Bonfield. Let's see what they're saying yes to next with transfers and captains. Okay, so there's plenty of time for this to change with 9 days at the time of recording until game week 8 gets underway. Your deadline is 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday the 16th of October if you want to get your team sorted nice and early. But we thought we'd check in with you guys ahead of that because we won't hear from you three specifically before then. Flo, what are your plans to do with your team?
So the two players that have definitely got to come out of my side are Pukki and Alonso. I will be getting Hwang Hee-chan in for Pukki. Alonso still TBC, but I might go with some of the options we've talked about defensively. But I'm definitely sticking with Mo Salah as captain because I think he delivers that consistency you need, especially as Lukaku's been on a bit of a barren spell. I think that will change, but Salah is just guaranteed goals. So definitely sticking with him as captain.
What about you, Sam? Any plans with that team? You're in the top 200,000, so I'm intrigued to see what you're going to do to get yourself in the top 100,000.
Oh yeah, well, I'm definitely thinking about the wild card in a couple of weeks' time. Defensively, where I need to change things a little bit. So with that in mind, I'm going to do Rudiger for sure this week. I think Manchester United have got, well, they've got a hellish 4 weeks or so coming up, real tough fixtures. So I'd expect them to concede a few. So that's my reasoning behind that. Beyond that, yeah, one or two little alterations I need to make. Fernandes would be the one. I know that's a big shout, but that would free up a lot of funds for me. And with those fixtures in mind, potentially I could move him out during that wild card. And probably just to learn from what I did in the last game week where I put Lukaku skipper and he returned 4 points back to Mo Salah for the trip to your place of worship, Kelly.
Yes, I don't think I'll be worshipping much other than Mo Salah at Vicarage Road next weekend because he's the obvious captaincy pick, isn't he, Lee?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, I'm going to that game, Kelly. So I'm kind of, I've got to captain Mo, haven't I?
Good for you.
Yeah, we had a chat before the podcast, didn't we, about the fact that Ranieri could be a little bit more defensive-minded at Vicarage Road. But that'll take some time to bed in. And, you know, Liverpool have had 127 shots in 7 games. So it's not just Salah that's firing those goals in. It's his colleagues around him. So, yes, I'll be armbanding Mo, no doubt about it. And from a transfer perspective, I think I'm going to join Sam on the Shaw out train there. I'm already invested in Rudiger, so I've got him already, but I'll be going into Man City. I think Cancelo looks like a really good pick, or if I want to be a bit safer, maybe Diaz. So yeah, unfortunately, Luke Shaw's got to go, I think.
Yeah, lots of people making a similar move. Well, everyone, enjoy your weekends off. I know that, Sam, you'll be keeping a close eye on the EFL, unearthing some future FPL gems, hopefully. Good luck when Game Week 8 does come around. And thank you, as always, for all of your insight. A reminder, listener, of our league code 1KIKS7. And, of course, the official Fantasy Premier League show will be live on the app later. Lee will be joining me for that. And fantasy.premierleague.com will also have the show, plus lots of other gems over the next week or so to keep you busy. And, as always, we'll be back in your ears next Thursday. Have a great week.